Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Welcome inside the Target Demo Friday episode of the DA, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. On a Target Demo Friday, we're looking for how you're listening to the show, where you're listening, and what you're doing. And I'll read through those coming up here later on in hour number three. So hit me up on Twitter with those, DA on CBS, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Boise State head coach Brian Harsin, number 14 Broncos, going to join us in 17 minutes from now. So glad you decided to spend your Friday with us. Now, coming up also this hour, Mraz's Up the Gut NFL picks and his now celebratory victory tour because of his Coca-Cola ribs. And thank goodness he got an A for his football food of the week last weekend from Moose, who's essentially the Siskel and Ebert of football foods of the week, because Mraz has nothing else to root for right now. His piggy Yankees down 3-1.
Very much on the table that it's Yankees on 6 now because of the way this lined up. It's just bad managing. It's bad understanding.
That was from yesterday, and we'll play plenty more of Mraz's pigginess from yesterday, the guarantee of a Game 4 win over Zach Greinke. But I want to start with the NFL and Patrick Mahomes' injury, obviously the story of last night. I don't have a problem with Andy Reid calling the QB sneak. I know that people will try to connect the dots. He had an ankle injury. Why is he in a quarterback keeper? But, I mean, really, at 42 years old, Tom Brady does this how many times a week consistently? They're still calling it. He's never injured. Do we oftentimes see quarterbacks injured in a quarterback sneak? The answer is no. I'm not going to sit here and play Twitter doctor like so many people did last night. Oh, it's because he was on a bum ankle. How could we know if he was on a healthy ankle? The same thing wouldn't have happened. And if guys are healthy and take quarterback sneaks all the time and remain healthy, who's to suddenly say quarterback sneaks are dangerous? I'm not going to kill Andy Reid here. The good news is there's an opportunity for this to merely be a 3 or 4 week injury from Mahomes, and maybe that gives Mahomes the needed rest on that ankle to get that 100% as well. But I think what's interesting about this is that Mahomes is essentially everybody's second favorite player in the NFL. I mean, the outpouring of, this is depressing, I'm bummed, why did this have to happen, take me instead, from people that aren't even Chiefs fans last night on social media was, I think, really amazing. That's how exciting Mahomes is. That's what a good guy he is. I know from my peeps in Kansas City behind the scenes, there are stories of him being a really good dude beyond the cameras, beyond what people see. So it's a huge bummer, but there's still hope that his season's going to be okay. And if his season's going to be okay, what we saw last night was that Matt Moore and that Chiefs defense at least had the opportunity to be competitive each and every week, even without Mahomes. Now, full picture, the Chiefs can't go anywhere without him. But if they've got to survive for 3 or 4 weeks, I will take my chances as a 9-7 or 10-6 Chiefs team with Patrick Mahomes as a wild card every day of the week and twice on Sunday, as long as you get into the dance. The other big game of the NFL weekend, or the big story, is what happened to the loser of Cowboys and Eagles. Both these teams are 3-3, came into the season with Super Bowl aspirations. This is your Sunday night game. This one's in Dallas. And one thing we have not heard in Philadelphia is any of the Eagles players openly questioning Carson Wentz. They were definitely loving up on Nick Foles. They certainly really liked Nick Foles. And certainly Foles won them a lot of games, so they're going to be loyal to him. But ESPN's Josina Anderson said, quote, on NFL Live, with the team being 3-3, an Eagles source also talked to me about how that offense is functioning. One of the things they said is, we need to make bleep simpler. Sometimes you just need to handle what is manageable. They said even Peyton Manning knew when to check down. Josina went on to say, Wentz right now is 38% on passes that travel 15 yards in the air. 3 interceptions on passes like that, tie for most in the league. Has 148 passes, those that are 10 yards or fewer. Right now, he has 9 touchdowns and 0 interceptions like that, so I think that is an apt point. And so the point is, apparently from this Eagles player or Eagles coach or somebody within that organization, that Carson Wentz is maybe making things too confusing. And remember, there was that story last year that once Wentz came back, he wanted to prove his worth after Foles won the Super Bowl. And so he was adamant about plays that would make maybe him look good instead of just taking what the defense gives. Now, does Carson Wentz favor some receivers? I think that could be valid when he was targeting Zach Ertz. Are there people in the locker room that might question Carson Wentz's leadership quietly? I think that that has happened. Were there those that wondered if Carson Wentz was making Carson Wentz look good instead of making sure they won games? Probably. But here's the thing. Carson Wentz is still one of the best quarterbacks, young quarterbacks in football. You can still win a Super Bowl with Carson Wentz. He is that type of talent. And if you are the Eagles right now, the worst thing you can do is be taking shots publicly about your quarterback or anything else. Because the division is still in your grasp. And that's all you got to do is get in. That's all you have to do. As long as you get into the playoffs, all is going to be fine. And look at this division. The Cowboys have lost 3 in a row and confidence in Jason Garrett sinking like a rock. The Giants are not going to jump up and win this division, and Washington is a mess. All the Eagles need to do is just stay the course. Just keep it in-house, trust what's going to happen, and know that Wentz is a good solution. He might not be perfect. He might lock on certain receivers. He might not be a fully formed leader yet. He might be still insecure about Foles winning a Super Bowl in what was supposed to be his Super Bowl season. But the worst thing the Eagles can do right now is fracture or fray and give red meat to the Lions. The Philly media is waiting for something like that. Waiting. The fans waiting for something like that. And that is a mistake by whoever gave that quote. Wentz, look, maybe he doesn't have total support in that locker room. And that's going to be on Wentz as well to win, make sure that he wins those guys' trust and respect. But just keep it in-house and don't let anybody know that there could be any doubts because you got the division. This game on Sunday is huge. I mean, you're telling me that if you beat the Cowboys on Sunday and the Cowboys fall to 3-4, and by the way, Doug Peterson said we're going to go down there and win, the Cowboys are going to be in death spiral mode. Could you imagine if it's 4 straight losses and you're sub .500, you're going into late October, I mean, it's death spiral mode because nobody has any trust in Jason Garrett. The confidence is sinking for him. Dak Prescott's been exposed. The offensive line isn't nearly as dominant as it should have been. And there were plays last week where suddenly Sam Darnold looked like Joe Namath. To me, out of these two teams, the Cowboys can handle the loss worse, will handle the loss worse. They can least afford to have a loss because this one's at home for them, and it's a three-game losing streak, and already the vultures are circling on Jason Garrett, and I don't think Jerry Jones is going to make a change mid-season, so Garrett probably gets fired after the year, but that still means you have more than half a season left with a dead duck head coach. I think the team that loses this is not necessarily out of it for good, but I don't see the Cowboys rebounding from down from a season after they're 3-4. I don't see that happening. I think it's only going to get louder there. And in a winnable division, this game becomes probably one of the two most important games to be played for these two teams. The Cowboys absolutely have to have this because they're at home. And the Eagles need to tamp down any stuff that they're talking about that gets out to the media. Don't do it. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. A.J. Hinch looks like a baller. A.J. Hinch went with the Zach Greinke instead of the bullpen game in game number 4. I hate the idea that a team aiming for a World Series championship would even have a quote-unquote bullpen game as one of their 4 best solutions. I think it's terrible that in today's Major League Baseball world, throwing out 5 relievers is better than actually having a starter. But this is where we are. And A.J. Hinch said, instead of 2-2, I want 3-1. I want 3-1 with Verlander going to the hill. I want to put the kill shot of the Yankees. And he trotted out Greinke, who had been shelled earlier in the playoffs against the Rays, had lost game 1 against the Yankees, and here's where A.J. Hinch earned his paycheck. He had trust in his guy, and his guy delivered. And let's face it, it did not look like Greinke was going to deliver in that first inning. Walks the bases loaded, then walks in that run. I mean, it just looked like a nightmare waiting to happen for the Astros. And Greinke settled down, and Greinke earned his stripes last night as well. That's a big-time performance to rebound after a very rattled inning number 1. And Hinch looks like a genius. Now Hinch has 3-1 with Verlander now tonight and Cole coming up and 2 games at home to finish this thing off and go to the World Series. A.J. Hinch, a lot of people questioned whether it was smart to pitch Greinke last night, including one piggy that's on this staff, clowned A.J. Hinch for that decision, laughed in my face when I brought up the idea that this was to take command of the series.
Essentially, A.J. Hinch's decision now to go Greinke and Verlander ended the series for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, sure did. It ended the series, and the Astros are going to be moving on.
Greinke's going to get bombed tonight. Tanaka's probably going to throw 7-inning gem.
Either one of those things didn't actually happen.
Very much on the table at the Yankees. I'm 6 now because of the way this lined up. It's just bad managing. It's bad understanding.
Yankees in 6. That was Mraz yesterday. They're down 3-1.
Series over. See you, Washington.
Yeah, that's exactly what the Astros are going to be saying after tonight. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, we'll talk a little college football. Boise State's number 14 of the country. They travel to BYU, but they've got question marks at quarterback after their starting quarterback and their freshman star, Hank Bachmeier, gets injured against Hawaii on Saturday. How is it to try to prepare for this without knowing who your quarterback's going to be? And is this a statement season after leaving something on the table last year for the Broncos? We'll talk to head coach Brian Harsin coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, Mornings, Mothership.
How you doing, brother DA? I love listening to your show every morning, man. You know, you're the man of truth.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to CBS Sports Radio, everybody. DA with you. And there are so many ways you can listen to the show, of course, across the great CBS Sports Radio network on all of our terrestrial affiliates. Also on Sirius XM, channel 206, or on your phone for free. Use the radio.com app, the CBS Sports app, or Apple Music, where you can watch us at watchda.com. This time last year, we were in Idaho, in Boise, getting ready, and that was a ton of fun. And we were doing the show live there in front of a ton of Broncos fans and had our next guest stop on by live. He's the head coach of the number 14 Broncos as they moved to 6-0 with a drubbing of Hawaii last weekend, 59-37. They get ready for a trip to BYU Saturday, a night kick on ESPN2, head coach Brian Harsin. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Well, it's always great to catch up with you and fun to be doing this for the second year in a row. In fact, I think we've been doing this for longer than that. But let's start with the win over Hawaii last Saturday. That was potentially the second-best team of the conference, and it wasn't nearly as close as even the score would indicate, and you guys won by more than 20 points. So was it important to deliver a statement victory and statement performance against perhaps the second-best team in the Mountain West?
Well, I think the most important thing was that we prepared ourselves to go play against a really good Hawaii team. We were back home, and we really wanted to come out fast. We felt like Hawaii had a bye week. They had the advantage, and we knew that they would have high intensity coming into this game. We just needed to make sure that we were ready on game day. And our guys did a really good job preparing themselves, and they had themselves ready to play, and we got a fast start. And we were able to continue that throughout the game fairly consistently. And overall, some of the guys, you know, when our quarterback went out, when Hank went out, we showed depth at that position. But more importantly for us, we showed that we were ready to come in there and play. And you never know that until it happens in a game. And Chase Cord stepped up, played exceptionally well. And I thought the guys around him did the same thing. So to me, it was more of just about our preparation. Were we ready to play? We showed that. And then when guys got in the game, we were able to execute throughout four quarters of it. And at the end, you know, we had the result that we wanted.
The one thing that I would imagine you're excited about was the balance. 315 passing yards in that game, 203 rushing yards in the game. How satisfied are you with those two pieces of the puzzle on offense?
Yeah, I thought we balanced, you know, on the offensive side. I thought we were balanced, and we were able to hit some plays. But more importantly, our guys, I thought we executed well consistently through the game. And on the defensive side, I thought we did early on, and then maybe not so much in the middle of it. And Hawaii is a very good offense, difficult to defend, and they made some plays there in the third quarter and towards the beginning of the fourth. And our special teams, I was happy with that. We played better on special teams. We did some things that we wanted to do in those areas. So from the week before to the Hawaii game, we did improve. We made significant improvements, and we made small improvements, but overall we improved the way we wanted to, and that's what we're trying to do every single week. How do we keep finding ways to do what we're doing and do it better? Because every game you're learning, and there's a lot of things that you want to fix the next week, but fortunately we've been able to do it with a win. And you know, as we go into every Tuesday practice, you know, what are we doing to get ourselves better? And I think our guys understand that. It showed up so far, and if we'll keep that mindset, then we'll find new ways to improve in the next game.
Boise State head coach, the number 14 of the country, Brian Harsin, joining us this morning on the show. Your freshman quarterback, Hank Bachmeier, got injured in that game against Hawaii, but to that point in time, he's had such an impressive season, throwing for more than 1,500 yards already, 9 touchdowns, only 3 picks. And people that I've spoken to around the country have been really impressed and somewhat surprised that he's been this good this fast. Have you been surprised at all at how effective he has been this early?
Well, I think there's some surprising things because you've never seen him play. This is his first year playing. And he's done some things on the field that you see in practice, but he made a few adjustments. He's made some throws. He's made some decisions that you just don't know until he goes out there and plays. So, sure, there's some really good surprising things. There's things surprising that are negative at times as well. But his his demeanor and his focus and preparation each and every week, that's what I've been really impressed with. For a young player, he knows how to get himself ready to play. And I think Coach Hill's done a good job with him of helping him understand the process of what it takes to get yourself ready to go for a Friday or a Saturday game and to go out there and execute for four quarters at that position. And, you know, he's a guy that he does it 1 week and then tries to come back the next and do it a little bit better. And so what I was talking about earlier, you know, those are the things that we want to see from our players. And for a young player to do that, yeah, you see some things that surprise you in a good way. And at the same time, we fix and correct like we always do with every guy. But I really like his toughness. He showed that this entire year. He's got good command of what we're doing offensively. I'm excited about him and his development where he is right now. And then the continuation of that is we move into these next games and he goes and plays more football. We're halfway through the season, so now what is it going to look like moving forward?
So with Hank's injury against Hawaii last Saturday, it's thrown into the air his potential to be available for you guys this upcoming Saturday. Has it been difficult at all to go through an entire week and not really know what you have at quarterback yet?
Well, I think we know we have a quarterback. You know, Hank getting himself ready to play, Chase getting himself ready to play, Jalen Henderson getting himself ready to play, and all three guys played in the last game, and all three guys were effective. So I think we know what we have, and for us, it's business as usual as we go out there and prepare and practice and try to get our entire team ready. It's one position, a very important position, but we still have to get everybody else ready to play, and we got to put the game plans in that we feel are going to be successful. And the best part about that room is those guys understand that, and they know, hey, whatever their responsibility is that day or their role that day, they're going to go execute it. And I think that's what showed up with Chase. He's been doing that over and over and over, and when he got a chance to come in there and play, that was the end result. And so now you can kind of just say, all right, here's all that hard work and how it showed up against Hawaii. Now you know that's not for waste. You know, that's going to be something that when it comes back to you getting in the game, you know how you're going to respond. And I think Chase, everybody was excited about that. The quarterback room was as well. They support each other. And those guys are all ready to play. And we know what we have going into this game.
Boise State head coach Brian Harsin joining us here on the show. The Broncos, number 14 of the country, traveling to BYU. Saturday, ESPN2 is the broadcast. So it's kind of felt like every step of the way you guys have had a mission to accomplish, and that coming off of last year, there has been a focus on delivering your best effort each and every week, which is all about getting to a New Year's Six bowl game. Has unfinished business from last year helped focus your team and elevate your play weekly?
Well, I'll answer this. I think this football team is very motivated, and they're fun to be around, and they work extremely hard, and they like each other. And so there's a lot of things from the chemistry standpoint that make this team right now, you know, fun to be around. But I would say this. I think and I hope every year we have that mindset that every game we play is important, that every game and every season we're trying to accomplish the same thing. So I don't know if we've instilled anything different that way. I just think sometimes you have the right people, the right group together, and they actually go out and do all the things that you talk about doing. And so far, this team has shown that. And they do it through the week of preparation leading into the games. Now, the end result, I don't know what that's going to be on Saturdays. But I do know if we put ourselves in really good positions day in and day out, then we give ourselves a lot better shot at the end of the week. And that's what this team does so far consistently. And you know, I wouldn't, but it's not phenomenal. It's just more of a mindset that, hey, this is what we're trying to get done each day. And at the end of the week, we want to go out there and we want to perform. We want to perform well. And more importantly, I think for each other and just the standards that these guys have within this team right now. And that's what I'm seeing from these guys. And the coaches are that way. And everybody in this building has been that way. And, you know, at the end of the day, we've had success up to this point. Does that continue? That remains to be seen. But that's the mindset that this group has right now.
The number 14 Broncos are 6-0, traveling to BYU for Saturday night. Head coach Brian Harsin joining us on the show. Coach, thanks so much for carving out time. I know it's a busy week for you, but we always appreciate your visits, and good luck coming up on Saturday and the rest of the way this season.
No, hey, appreciate you. Go Broncos.
My pleasure, Coach. Brian Harsin joining us this morning here on the show. When we come back, we've got Dr. Chow. Yes, the great Dr. Chow, our in-house on-retainer doctor to discuss Patrick Mahomes' injury last night. Plus, Mraz has his football food of the week and his up-the-gut NFL picks. It's a fabulous Target Demo Friday here on the DA Show. This is CBS Sports Radio.
Are the glitch in the simulation.
These bots can be destroyed and crashed in seconds. A lot of them have fire and flame and the ability to flip their opponents.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Ooh, flipping opponents?
You are a machine of death.
Thanks so much for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A happy Target Demo Friday to you. Let us know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, how you're listening. And we'll read through those coming up here in hour number three. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico, 855-212-4227. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too? Get it all, geico.com. And Sunday, the NFL on CBS is at Lambeau Field. The Packers hosting the Raiders, plus a key AFC South clash between Houston and Indy. It all begins with Jamie and the guys getting you ready for all of the action on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. And I'll see you for Sunday morning football as well, beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern time right here on all of these same CBS Sports Radio stations. Last night, Patrick Mahomes takes a quarterback sneak, comes up lame. We're waiting on the MRI. A guy that we go to is a great resource on the injuries around football. He was a team doctor for the Chargers of the NFL for more than 17 seasons. He's now pro football doc. He is Dr. Chow and joins us this morning on the show. Dr. Chow, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks so much, as always, for joining us. It's always good to be able to pick your brain. And number one, I want to ask you, do you think the Chiefs put Mahomes in a bad situation by running a quarterback sneak, knowing that his ankle was not 100%?
No. I think Mike Tannier said, a worse position might be playing with Von Miller opposite him, coming down on him with some injured offensive linemen. I do not think beyond the normal scope of football, which always carries danger. If he was healthy enough to play with the high ankle, I don't think that quarterback sneak was particularly dangerous, nor do I think the right kneecap dislocation was directly or really even remotely indirectly related to the left high ankle sprain, which he's had since week one.
It's kind of a freak injury in this aspect, right? I mean, we have quarterbacks that do quarterback sneaks all the time, perfectly healthy. And rarely, if ever, do they get injured on the play. For him to get injured on the play was really something that almost never happens, correct?
Unusual, but you know, you never know what happens in the pile there, and obviously there's a lot of contact. But I would not say that a sneak is particularly dangerous. If it's a sneak where he's going up and over the lineman, maybe so. But he was huddled down literally on the rear ends of the offensive linemen kind of following them. So it was someone from the side that unfortunately injured him.
Dr. Chow joins us this morning on the show. ProFootballDoc.com is his website. ProFootballDoc is also his Twitter handle for great information on NFL injuries. So tell us what the decision to make is for the Chiefs as they get this MRI back today.
Well, ultimately, the decision is Patrick Mahomes, right? No one can force someone to have surgery or not have surgery. And the S-word surgery is on the table. I'm not saying he's going to have it for sure. I'm not saying that I know what the MRI is going to show. But typically, when you dislocate your kneecap, one first worry is there a loose chip of articular cartilage or something that's been knocked or scuffed off? Usually there isn't, which would be good news. But usually there is tearing of what we call the medial retinaculum, or four letters that all your listeners are going to get used to over the next few days, MPFL. Everyone knows ACL. Everyone knows MCL. MTFL is the ligament that attaches to the kneecap that helps hold it from going out of place. Lots of considerations there, but the potential is surgery either now or at the end of the season to try and keep this kneecap from recurrently popping out of place.
If he has surgery at the end of the season, how long does that keep him out for?
Typically a 6 to 9 month timeline. So is it impossible to do it at the end of the season and be ready for the next season? No, it's doable, but you know, it's a little bit tight, but it is doable. One comp that I talked about in the articles and other things is Matthew Stafford. In 2009, he apparently had a similar injury. I don't know if it was exactly the same. Returned after 3 weeks, finished the season, and then had surgery in the off season. Now, of course, they're a little bit different. They both play quarterback, but they're both very different quarterbacks, and that factors into the decision-making as well.
So worst-case scenario for Patrick Mahomes is that they find that there's ligament damage, have to shut him down right now. He has the surgery, and he's out 9 months and comes back for next year. Is the best-case scenario they don't need to do the surgery now? He's off it for 3 or 4 weeks, comes back and plays the season, but then has to have the surgery in February and has to be out until next September or October?
Well, the best-case scenario is very little or no ligament damage, no articular cartilage damage. His groove is deep. His knee angles are good. He can rehab it and never have a problem again. That's not super likely, but that's the best case scenario. The more likely scenario is what you're talking about here. Do they try and do it like Matthew Stafford, rehab him and return him to play with a brace? He might need to modify what he does a little bit because certainly he's very good in the pocket. But he's very, very dynamic as a player. And the more dynamic that you are, the more chance the kneecap may shift. And then the fear is, do you knock off articular cartilage the next time it happens? And so that's the decision-making process after the MRI today. I'm sure they've already talked about it, the Chiefs and Mahomes and the doctors, et cetera, who, by the way, did a great job in putting the kneecap back on the field and the whole deal. So they're on top of it. They're going to know this. And the question is, do we risk this short term or do we decide to live to fight another day, given that he's a young player and on a lot of years left?
Dr. Chow joins us this morning on the show. Two more for you. Number one, is there the risk of permanent damage? In other words, a knee that's not as mobile for the rest of his career?
Well, there's always that risk even to his left knee, right? It is correct. It's the game of football. So on any given play, anything can happen. But currently right now, absent bad news on the MRI with already some articular cartilage damage, he should be able to return to essentially 100% if you were to have surgery now. And yes, he could try and finish the season and still return to be 100%. But if lightning strikes a second time and he were to damage some articular cartilage, that could be the onset of arthritis and could affect him long term. Not for sure, but could. These are the risks and rewards that the team and Mahomes will be talking about today, tomorrow, et cetera.
Final question for you, and that is, by virtue of seeing Mahomes walking off the field in his own power yesterday and in the post game, does that give us any sense of the severity of it?
Doesn't change anything for me. All that tells me is, look at how tough Mahomes is. Go back and look at the video. He couldn't move. He laid on top of his offensive lineman, not moving, could not bend his knee because the kneecap was out of place. The offensive lineman underneath him wiggled himself out from underneath Mahomes. And the Chiefs doctors did a good job putting the kneecap back in, which gave him some fairly good instantaneous relief. But, of course, the next phase of swelling is coming, and he walked off. He's as tough as they come. I said week one, I was surprised he finished the game with the high ankle sprain week one. No one kind of listened because he did so well. And now week five, six, we talk about the high ankle because he re-aggravated it all the time. He is tough as they come. I am sure he is going to want to rehab and play through. The question is, if you're the Chiefs and your ownership, look, if you're a fantasy owner, you probably want him to play through. But if you're actually the owner of the team, what would you do with this situation?
David Chow joins us. He's always such a wonderful resource in situations like this. You can follow him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc or check out his website, ProFootballDoc.com, for the latest on injuries around the NFL. Doctor, it's always good to catch up. Thanks so much for doing it on short notice today.
No problem. And if your listeners sign up for free at the website, I'll be doing updates later today once we get the MRI results and there's more news on Patrick Mahomes.
Excellent. 17-plus years as an NFL team doctor. That website is profootballdoc.com. Really, really good stuff from Dr. David Chow. We love him around here. Book it. When there's an injury that happens, we got to book him. And now it's time for Meraz's Up the Gut NFL Picks.
Puffiness with football. Meraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
So in the race to the finish, Super Dave is 3 games over .500. Meantime, Meraz is 4 games over .500. Meraz went 2-1 last week, 11-7 on the year. Packers and Raiders from Lambeau Field is where we start. The Packers are a 5.5-point favorite. Meraz, as usual, smelling cheese.
I am smelling cheese. I'm going a theme. I'm going good teams versus overrated bad teams here. I'm all over the Packers this week, laying the 5.5. To me, that's a low number. Now, I will say, ironically enough, I think the Mahomes injury scares me a little in this game from the standpoint of the Raiders got to be feeling themselves a little bit, right? They might be back in the AFC West hunt, a couple wins in a row. But I think they come crashing back down. I know this is a short week, clunky win, a win the Packers shouldn't have had on Monday night. But I think their pass rush, specifically the two Smiths, are going to get after it after Derek Carr on Sunday. Sure, Khalil Mack might be looking for more of an awakening out of his end after being shut down in London. But ultimately, I think the Packers, too well balanced on both sides and playing at home, only need to win this game by a touchdown to cover. That seems like a lock to me.
Meraz likes Packers laying 5.5. Niners in Washington, despite San Francisco being on the road, they are favored by nearly double digits, 9.5. That's a big number here.
Big number.
Big number, big boy, but you like it.
This is the Kyle Shanahan revenge game. Getting back the old firing of his father. Shanahan has talked all week about, hey, I'm not a part of that chaos anymore. It's nice to see it from afar. Shanahan sees blood in the water and sees how bad this Washington team is. Heck, Ryan Fitzpatrick's a 2-point conversion away from beating Washington last week. How embarrassing would that have been? Washington is terrible, and San Francisco might be the best team in the NFC.
Oh!
They might be. Look, the record indicates it. Now they're starting to feel themselves a little bit. They could easily win this game 24-10, win it by 14 and cover, even score more than that. To me, the 9.5 doesn't sway me away. This isn't a 17-point spread. Washington's so bad. San Francisco pretty good. Again, I'm laying the number here.
Okay, Niners favored by 9.5. And then finally, Rams and Falcons. This is an old-school NFC West matchup. This one's going to be in Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz Dome or Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And the Rams are favored by a field goal on the road in Atlanta, and you don't believe the dead carcass of Dan Quinn's birds.
Falcons are dead. They are as dead as the birds that flew into the NASCAR Hall of Fame, All right? And that is a low number. The Rams are still the defending NFC champions, folks. And Jared Goff, I get it. Hasn't looked like himself. He's played terribly. There have been questions on offense, and I hate that Jalen Ramsey pouted and got his way. But the fact of the matter remains, weird week in L.A. They lose Joseph Noteboom. They lose Aqib Talib. They trade Marcus Peters. They add Jalen Ramsey. They have to feel a little bit reinvigorated, and what better way to get back on the horse than playing the dead Atlanta Falcons? 3 points? That's all I'm laying here? I know it's on the road. Give me the Rams laying 3.
Okay, that's Meraz's picks. Packers, Niners, and Rams. He is 12. He is 12-9. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 11-7 on the season. 11-7. He's 4 games over .500 after a 2-1 week last week. We'll get to your football food of the week next hour because I do want to give you some space, some oxygen for this. Last week, you garnered your first A of the year.
An A plus
even for Coca-Cola ribs. And Moose, who is the Gene Siskel of grading out your football foods of the week, was really impressed. Really impressed.
I thought Siskel's last name was Ebert.
Nope. Those are two different guys.
They would write reviews together?
Well, they were a TV.
Stupid.
They were TV show hosts, and one would do it, and one would do a review, then the other guy would do the review.
Oh, I always thought it was Siskel Ebert.
What do you think the "and" was?
Siskel and Ebert. You guess you're right.
I thought that was the middle initial, Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah, just weird. I would think, have your own opinion. You shouldn't have to have the same movie review opinion as your partner.
Well, they could have two different opinions.
All right. I mean, clearly I didn't read them enough.
Or watch them, specifically watch
them. I thought they were always in the newspaper.
Okay, so anyway, you got an A-plus for the only thing in your life, honestly. Certainly not geography, certainly not animal anatomy, certainly not history, for Coca-Cola ribs. So you have big shoes to fill here. This is a big one. You had a program-defining win last week. Can you follow that up? We'll see for Meraz's Football Food of the Week coming up straight ahead. Also, does Patrick Mahomes' injury hand the Patriots another ring? We'll discuss next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.